Shotian did his PhD at the University of Illinois in Chicago in chemical biology. He then moved on to Scripps to do postdoctoral research with Peter Schultz, who's across the street. He's now a principal investigator at the California Institute for Biomedical Research.
That's the first time talking to such a large and high-profile audience. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm wondering if there's a stem cell therapy for that. I would love to take some. So as previous two talks trying to show is that we try to use small molecules to harness endogenous stem cells for a certain either proof of concept or treat certain diseases. There is no current disease modification therapies. And in my talk, I will talk about using small molecules to target another well-studied stem cell population, mesenchymal stem cells. And one thing for stem cells is that, as Irena's data showed like, from previous session, is that stem cells in the body, they are sitting there. It's not that we don't have stem cells, but the issue is stem cells in certain conditions, for example, chronic disease conditions or related to aging, the stem cells sitting there, they are not efficiently repairing the damage they're supposed to. And for that, what we're trying to do is look at endogenous stem cells and wondering if we can find drug like small molecules to trigger this differentiation for a certain disease. And for that, mesenchymal stem cells is known that residing in various tissues, and they are capable of differentiating into several different cell types, including osteoblasts, adipocytes, and chondrocytes. We decided to follow a chondrocyte route. There are two reasons. One is that, actually, there are three reasons, I would say. One is that probably differentiating toward adipocyte route is not that promising, and I bet fast food restaurant doing a very good job, so it's hard to catch up with that. But on the other hand, chondrocytes are the cells that is known forming this layer, Cousin layer in the joint, so that will give us the joint mobility. And in a disease condition like osteoarthritis, you have cell dies and eventually lose all this cell matrix layer. And for that, probably if we can regenerate chondrocytes, we may be able to compensate or repair this damaged cartilage and maybe not only slow down the progression, but also eventually, ideally, maybe we can reverse the process. And another key thing is that, as Jay just mentioned, that there, for small molecules, the key issue not only is that you have an active compound, but also systematic effect, especially when you have a compound that targets different cell populations give you different effects, then not only looking at your key target, but also some other issue you need to consider. That's another reason we picked this topic is that when you look at structure of the knee, it's a encapsulated structure. So we can locally deliver drug right in here. And because there's no vascular inside, so the drug will not go into the circulation. So you don't have a systemic exposure. Which actually, in this case, we are lucky in a way that we don't need to worry about systemic exposure and also subsequent possible side effects. So having this in mind, through a collaborative effort, Dr. Chris Johnson at GNF started a image-based phenotypic screen using human mesenchymal stem cells. And we look at the standing of, forming of these cartilage nodules that you can stand with certain dyes to stand the proteoglycan in the matrix. And as you can see that with compound treatment, we have a very clear phenotype change. And one of the compound from the screen we named cartogenin gave us very dramatic effect and with a reasonable efficacy at not at EC50 level at 100 nanomolar. And furthermore, we confirmed the gene expression profile of these differentiated cells by compound treatment for other chondrocyte associated genes, including type 2 collagen, agrochem, and lubricin. And also, we also did a widely used protocol for countryside differentiation, which is the pilot culture system that will promote mesenchymal stem cell differentiation based on the mechanistic effect. And also with compound treated, you can see that we also can improve the differentiation efficiency in this setup. And furthermore, as I mentioned, mesenchymal stem cells can differentiate into several lineages, and we look at other lineages to see if a compound is lineage specific. And as you can see here, this is for the standing of genes expressed in osteoblast lineage, and we don't have a differentiation toward that lineage, which confirms the original idea is that we have a compound can specifically drive chondrocyte differentiation. And from in vitro, the next key question will be, we set out for a process to target endogenous stem cells. Can we really use this compound to do the job we want? So we use a couple of different animal models for OA disease modeling. And one is the enzymatically reduced osteoarthritis in mice. And as you can see that with enzyme treatment, we have the matrix decrease, and with compound treatment, we can reinstall the cartilage matrix, and this also gave us an improved total knee score. Another model is the surgery-induced osteoarthritis model. As you can see here, with compound treatment, again, we can have a repaired cartilage surface with more smooth surface profile and also increased thickness of the matrix layer, which also, again, have an increased overall joint score, which also gave us a pain relief that associated with the surgery-induced disease condition. And furthermore, through a collaboration at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, that our collaborator can show that the compound also work in their cartilage development model. This is not a disease model. This is a mouse embryo, so that we incubate mouse embryo with the compound, and you can see that the joint development process is accelerated. And next is that we have a compound. It works both in vitro and in vivo. The key question will be, how does it work? As Jay also mentioned, that this is a tricky question. It takes a lot of effort, but still you are looking at very complex situation, especially when you think about chemical genomics approach, is that you're looking at the function of your molecule, look at the whole cell gave you the phenotype, but really there are many signaling pathways or possible mechanisms that can account for that. And gene expression analysis is very widely used, but the issue is that you will have a hard time to dissect between direct effect and indirect effect, the cause and the result. So for that, we took a different route. We do a direct target identification. So first, we did a focused SIR study to see where we can modify the molecule to put some handles on the molecule so that we can do this experiment. So one of the analog gave us a similar activity, and you can see here, so that we know the bifenyl group we can modify. Based on that, we put the AZ group here so that we can use that as a photo affinity moiety to cross-link to the target protein. And the other side of the molecule, we put a belting handle on that so that we can trace where the compound is. And using this in living cells, this gel didn't show up. I'll describe it. It's just like we use this compound, put on the cells, and then photo cross-link this possible target, and then we did a Western, and we did see that there's a specific protein at 90 kilodalton that specially labeled by the probe, and this labeling can be competed away by a free compound in 50 times in excess. And proteomic analysis of that protein turned out the protein target is a protein called filamin A. And we did a shRNA mediated knockdown experiment in the mesenchymal stem cells, and the knockdown of this protein recapitulated the effect of the compound we use, which tells us very likely this is the relevant target. And filamin A, it's a large protein, it's a cytosolic protein. Its full length is 280 kilodalton, and the fragment we saw was only 90 kilodalton. Actually, when I saw this, I went back to look at my original gel data. I did see another bond at the very top of the gel, close to 280 kilodalton, also labeled by the compound. So which tells us compound likely bind to somewhere on the C-terminus hub. So we cloned and expressed three fragments of the C-terminal fragment to see where our compound binds. As you can see, we have three pieces of protein here, and only one of them, the FC fragment, to the very end of the C-terminus, is labeled by the compound. And this labeling is also specific, can be computed with biofree compound. Filamin A, as I said, is a big protein. Its well-known function is binding to actin network and cross-link different actin filaments. But at the same time, it also have other roles, like as is probably scaffolding protein bind to all different factors. There's a long list of protein that interact with this protein. And because we know where our compound binds, so we look at we search in literature and found that there's one specific protein called CBF beta binds to the same region. And we can confirm the interaction between our FC1 fragment and the CBF beta protein in vitro. And this interaction, actually, when we add our compound, it's got the interaction got disrupted. So which tells us our compound really bind to that fragment, and this binding have an effect on the protein-protein interaction. And this effect is also further confirmed in the cells by a co-immunoprecipitation experiment, as you can see here. And also, furthermore, when we look at CBF beta, it's a transcription cofactor. It suffers between cytoplasma and nuclei, and you can imagine only when it's in nuclei it's functional. So when we look at the distribution of this protein in subcellular compartments, we found that in cytoplasma fraction, there might be a slight decrease, but in the nuclear fraction, there's a very significant increase, which you can see here by Western blotting and by immunostaining. And what does it do? So now let's talk about CBF beta. CBF beta is, as I said, a transcription cofactor. When it's in nuclei, it activates downstream transcription program. So regarding that, we overexpress this protein in the mesenchymal stem cells, and that overexpression gave us a increased chondrocyte differentiation. And furthermore, when we knock down this protein, it totally blocked the effect of the compound, which means this protein is really downstream of our compound and has a critical role in the chondrocyte differentiation program. And next, when we look at CBF beta, it's a transcription cofactor binding to transcription factor family, including ROX1, ROX2, ROX3. And this family of transcription factors are well studied in hematopoietic system. Actually, it's regulating hematopoiesis. But it's also known that involved in bone formation, cartilage formation. And we did a gene expression profile using our compound, and two most dramatic not come out is that RUNX1 and RUNX2, no surprise, which tells us our mechanism is relevant here. And interestingly, all the genes related to RUNX1 are upregulated, and all genes related to RUNX2 are downregulated. And when you think about what these two proteins do in the skeleton system, is that RUNX1 regulating chondrocyte differentiation, RUNX2 improve osteoblast differentiation, which also tells us at the time of inducing chondrocyte differentiation of the compound, we're also suppressing osteoblast differentiation, where that likely is the specificity come from. And furthermore, we look at gene expression of Runx family proteins and CBF beta in mesenchymal stem cells and also relevant downstream cells. We found that Runx1 indeed is expressed at a high level in mesenchymal stem cells, so as CBF beta, which tells us this program is really critical for mesenchymal stem cell biology. And furthermore, when we knock down Runx1 expression in mesenchymal stem cells, again, we have a similar effect as CBF beta knockdown, is that we block the effect of our compound in the chondrocyte differentiation. So then we, based on this, we propose our possible mechanism is that in rest state of mesenchymal stem cells, CBF beta is sequestered in cytoplasm by binding to filamin A. And when we add compound, it will replace and release CBF beta with subsequently will translocate into nuclei, bind to its partner Runx1 here, and that interaction turn on the transcription program in the nuclei, which actually is a key transcription program regulating mesenchymal stem cell differentiation toward chondrocyte lineage. And in summary, we have a molecule that from a phenotypic screen that gave us the phenotype that differentiates mesenchymal stem cells toward chondrocytes both in vitro and in vivo. And we found the target as filamin A, which subsequently direct to our finding of Runx1 CBF beta transcription program play a critical role in this whole process. And then one thing I want to point out that you see this target and subsequent mechanism. When you think about small molecule, this is very unconventional mechanism that you think small molecule target. Most time we're talking about small molecule, thinking about probably its enzymatic inhibitor for kinases, for proteases, for phosphatase. But small molecule actually can do more than that. They can interrupt protein-protein X, and it can influence protein folding or scaffolding, subset localization. So this also gave us a chance that to manipulate protein function out of the box of traditional way of drug discovery program. So I would like to conclude my talk by acknowledging all my colleagues that contribute significantly to the project, and also our founding research CIRM partially supported this program. Thank you very much. I would like to take some questions.
Thanks a lot, Shou-Tien. That's great, as usual. I think we have time for one question. We have one.
Yes. So, if I understand your mapping data correctly, your small molecule is interacting with a region of filament that's shared with a number of other proteins. And I guess the question is, how sure are you that filament is the only relevant target as opposed to other members of this actin-binding network of proteins?
That's a very good question. Actually, that's exactly the key question we asked when we saw this protein as our target, is that, so this is the structure of filamin A. Actually, to the very end of N-terminus, that's where it binds to actin network. And the C-terminus is the one that will form a homodimer, and also that will gave you the cross-linking effect on the actin network. And also, other part, like all these immunoglobulin-like domains, individual ones, or a combination of several of them, will have a interaction interface with other partner proteins. That's why around these runs, we look at literature, there's a long list of all genes or proteins that interact with this protein. And we check several of them, and we even check where this protein is upon compound treatment, say in the insoluble actin polymer fraction or in the soluble fraction. Actually, we don't see any change upon compound treatment, which tells us it's not having influence on its association with the actin network. And then we look at the specific region. That's how we found this specific protein that is with known and clear effect in chondrocyte differentiation. I mean, I'm not saying this is the only possible downstream target. We sure possibly have other protein there binding and maybe replaced by the compound, and that we are not digging too far into that yet. And also that also very likely will be tissue specific or cell type specific. Maybe in other cell population will have a different partner that will be affected. Yeah, but that's actually that's a concern. Yeah.